Hey, up next on Downtown, it is time for us to talk college football. And if you want to know what's going on, there is no better person to talk to than the expert on such matters. He publishes every year the Phil Steele College Football Preview. It's available now in fine bookstores like Books A Million, Barnes & Noble, and you can order through the website at philsteele.com. Phil is with us. Hello, Phil. Welcome back.
Hey, thank you, Rich. Always a good time talking to you, my friend.
Absolutely. Well, we're ready to kick off the season this weekend with some games. Let's start right at the top. What does Georgia need to do to win this whole thing again this year?
Well, they got to avoid the blips. I mean, last year they actually had two games they could easily have lost. You go back and look at that Missouri game last year. They trailed that thing by two scores in the fourth quarter, pulled out the win late. And then the Ohio State game, if that kick goes through the uprights, we're talking about Ohio State as defending champs, not Georgia. So it was two rough games for Georgia last year. They're going to have to play pretty perfect this year. I think they can afford one slip-up during the regular season and still get to the playoff. I believe their defense is better than it was last year. In fact, last year they replaced nine NFL draft picks. This year they replaced just five. Last year they lost five first-round draft picks. This year they only lost two. So a better defense than last year. I think Carson Beck will be a Heisman contender at the end of the year because he's got a great offensive line in front of him. My number four set of receivers, number six set of running backs, and the schedule sets up well. They'll be at least a 17-point favorite in each of their first 10 games. Biggest test is at Tennessee, but I think Georgia has a chance of that first three-peat since the 1930s when the Minnesota Golden Gophers did it.
Michigan loaded again this year, but what do you think the impact will be of the Jim Harbaugh suspension?
Very minor. Probably none, you know, because he gets to coach the team during the week, and that's basically when the head coach puts in the most work. You make a few decisions game day, but how many decisions are they going to have to make game day playing East Carolina, UNLV, and Bowling Green for the first three games? And what I look at when I look at Michigan this year, Rich, is the fact that this is Jim Harbaugh's best team in his 9 years. They are loaded with NFL prospects, my number two rated offensive line. And among the contenders this year, they're one of the few teams that actually has a returning starting quarterback back, and that's J.J. McCarthy. You got the best set of running backs in the country, a dangerous defense, and solid special teams. Plus, when you look at their schedule, really the one game that concerns you is at Penn State. Other than that, they should pretty much roll through my number 67 rated schedule. And this time, if they make the playoff, I think they might do something. They've had two very disappointing playoff games. I know the TCU game was close, but they were expected to win that one comfortably, and the Georgia game is a disappointment. I think they'll play better in the playoff this year if they make it.
Of course, change is coming to college football, especially when it comes to conference realignment next year, but it looks like another year where the SEC will reign supreme.
Yeah, no doubt about it. SEC, top dog, as always. And, you know, you look at the West, I think it's a three-horse race. You've got Alabama, LSU, who everybody talks about. And I'm going to throw Texas A&M into that mix. I think the Aggies are vastly improved over last year. And keep in mind, even last year in a 5-7 season when they were very inexperienced, they beat LSU 38-23. And against Bama, they're at the 2-yard line at the end of the game, throwing in the end zone with a chance to win it on the final play. So I think A&M's recruited at the level of Alabama and LSU. Now they've got the experienced team. They'll give them a threat. In the East, I do have Georgia winning it. I think their main rival and probably only real rival in the East is Tennessee. If Joe Milton can be an accurate QB and avoid the turnovers, he's a guy that can throw the football 95 yards. NFL scouts are drooling over him, and they get that big game against Georgia at home. So I think it's Georgia-Tennessee is the only battle in the East.
We're talking with Phil Steele here on Downtown. Can anybody do what Cincinnati did last year? Who's the best of the group of five?
You know, I think when you look at them, I don't believe anybody's going to get into the mix for the playoff this year. I don't see any team that's at that level. But the one team I would say to watch out for in the group of five teams is Toledo because of their schedule and the talent they have. They have basically everybody back from last year, including their very exciting quarterback, Daquan Finn. You look at the running back core, it's very deep with Jaquez Stewart and Micah Kelly. Defensive line loaded, as always, as they've been the last couple years. Ever since they brought in Vince Garris as the defense coordinator from Mountain Union, it's been a completely different D. And then you look at their schedule. If they somehow upset Illinois in the opener, they could very well be favored in all their games this year, run the table, go 12-0. And keep in mind, two of their losses last year came after they had clinched the West, and they were resting their quarterback to keep him healthy for the MAC championship game. So I think Toledo has a shot at actually running the table this year, but even if they did, I don't think they'd qualify for the playoff with just one P5 team on the schedule.
Who is a sleeper or maybe two out of the Power Five that could sneak into the college football playoff?
Yeah, I'll give you two sleepers, Rich. And in my mind, my surprise team list, you have to be a non-top 10 team. Let's face it, all the top 10 teams, you got to figure you have a shot at making the playoff. So my two teams that are non-top 10 teams that I think could make the playoff, number one is Notre Dame. And the Irish come in at number 13 in the AP poll at the start out the year. But when I look at Notre Dame, Marcus Freeman's got a heck of a defense on hand. In fact, he's got my number 18 rated defensive line, number 7 set of linebackers, number 9 DBs. They are going to be top-notch on defense. And last year, they held foes to 74 yards per game below their season average. Offensively, they've got my number 16 rated offensive line, number 10 set of running backs. And last year, they used a backup quarterback. This year, they've got Sam Hartman, one of the nation's best. And then special teams. I rate them 6th in the country. Then you factor in the schedule. They get Ohio State week 4 when Ohio State's got a young quarterback making their first real road start. They play USC at home in October. The home team is 8-1 in that series, and it might be a little chilly. They do have to play Clemson on the road, but even if they drop that, I could see this team going 11-1 and actually making the playoffs. So keep your eyes on the Fighting Irish. And the other one to look at is Wisconsin. And, you know, Rich, I'll be honest with you. When I started the magazine process, I do it in a 3 write-through process. The first write-through I do as soon as the Sunday after Thanksgiving we start it. And in my first write-through process, I wasn't wild about Wisconsin because they're shifting to the air raid. Phil Longo coming in. Let's face it, this team's successful because they run the football. But in the third write-through process, it's after I talked to the head coaches. And I talked to 123 of the 133 head coaches this year. And after talking to Coach Fickell, he assured me they were not going full-blown air raid. In fact, he feels that the last 3 years, they've been running into 8-9-man boxes. And that's the reason they haven't even averaged 5 yards per carry. Wisconsin generally averages over that. He feels that bringing in Tanner Mordecai from SMU, they're going to spread the offense out a little bit more. Teams won't be able to stack the box on them. And Braylon Allen and Ches Malusi, two dynamic running backs, will have a better yards per carry than they did in their last couple of years. Allen's one of the best running backs in the country. Defensively, they go from 3 returning starters to 8. In fact, I did a blog on philsteele.com about the teams that make a big jump experience-wise, like Wisconsin. They go from number 107 in my experience chart all the way up to number 20. Those teams usually make a big jump. And finally, look at the schedule. Their road schedule is Washington State, Purdue, Illinois, Indiana, and Minnesota, all winnable. Toughest two games on the schedule are Iowa. They get them at home. And Ohio State, they not only get them at home, they get them the week after they play Penn State. So this is a Wisconsin team that could very well surprise. You brought it up. Luke Fickell took his Cincinnati team and got him to the playoff. It wouldn't surprise me if he took this Wisconsin team as the big surprise team this year, sort of like last year's TCU.
One of the most talked about programs in the offseason has been the Colorado Buffaloes. Deion Sanders has worked the portal like nobody has seen before. Can he turn them into a legitimate contender?
You know, I think on paper, when you look at Colorado, they look pretty good. I like the talent upgrades. They had a quarterback, a running back, a receiver, across the board. Every position has more talent than they had last year. But, Rich, I talked to 11 of the 12 Pac-12 coaches. The only one I didn't talk to was Deion Sanders, and the reason for that was after spring was over, that's when I usually do my interviews, half his team was going out the door even after spring was over.
Right.
So all these transfers he's brought in, the majority of them, are coming in August and having to come together as a team in that short period of time. Plus, they play a very tough schedule this year. I mean, they open up at TCU. They play Nebraska at home. Then they have to play Colorado State, a state rival who will be gunning for them. They play at Oregon, at USC. The Pac-12 is a loaded conference this year. You know, the over-under win total on Colorado in Vegas right now is 3.5. I would actually lean towards the under. I've got them an underdog in 9 games this year.
Well, we get some football this weekend, but it really kicks off Labor Day weekend, and a great matchup to start it off. What do you think of that LSU-Florida State showdown?
Great game. 2 top 10 teams, and, you know, LSU's vastly improved over last year. Last year, they hit the transfer portal hard. Took them a while to get going, then they finally did. They've got an experienced quarterback in Jaden Daniels and some very dangerous players on defense. Remember, Mason Smith went out on, like, the first play of the season. He was regarded as their best defensive lineman. They've got Harold Perkins back there, and Mekhi Wingo. They are loaded. But Florida State, you know, here's the interesting thing, Rich, what I found out after the magazine went to the press. You know, Florida State ranks in my top units in all seven units as far as offense and defense goes for the team. That's not surprising for a top 10 team. However, they actually rank in my top 15 in each of those categories, which means this team is loaded. They have so many starters back, and they hit the transfer portal hard. They brought in guys like Braden Fisk from Western Michigan on the defensive line. Fentrell Cypress, one of the best cornerbacks in the ACC, is added. Keon Coleman, Michigan State's top wide receiver, is added. And some offensive linemen. This is a very dangerous Florida State team. The game's in Orlando. I thought Florida State controlled last year's game. I'm actually going to call for Florida State to pull the upset in that one.
Wow. Maine Black Bears open up next weekend down in Miami against Florida International. What can you tell us about the Panthers?
Well, they've got one of the best head coaches out there in Mike McIntyre. Mm. We've seen him make ridiculous strides each and every time. In fact, I think at San Jose, he opened up with one win his first year and then five the next. This guy's a program builder. Now, if you look at them on paper, they're nothing special. In fact, after spring was over and after I talked to Coach McIntyre, he lost two or three of his top players that we had gone over to the portal after I had talked to him. So that's a little bit of a concern, but he does have talent. This will be an improved team. And their quarterback, Grayson James, lost 20 pounds. This guy is ripped. He is 6'3", 235, gained a lot of experience last year. He's going to be a handful to handle out of that quarterback spot. They've got Chris Mitchell at wide receiver, a very dangerous wide receiver. The offensive line, a little bit rebuilt there. The defense will be better than last year. FIU is going to be a dangerous opponent for Maine in the fact that this is one of those winnable games where they think they can win. But I think Maine will make a good game of it. I'm looking forward to watching that one.
Let's talk about individual talent this year, Phil. Can Caleb Williams do what only Archie Griffin has done?
Yeah, and if you gave me the category of Caleb Williams or the field for the Heisman, I would take the field in the respect that when I look at Caleb Williams, he is going to be battling every other player in the country, but he's also going to be battling himself from last year. One of the reasons that the Heisman winner has not repeated, except for Archie Griffin, is the fact that a lot of them don't match their stats from the year before. And when that happens, people say, oh, maybe he's having a down year. Well, Caleb Williams last year threw for 67% completions, 4,500 yards, 42 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, and added another 10 touchdowns running. So let's say he goes from 52 touchdowns last year to 40 this year. Still have a phenomenal year. People say, he had a little bit of a down year. Also, USC would probably have to go undefeated. So I think that I would go with the field. I don't think Caleb Williams will repeat, but I do think he's in for a heck of a year.
And who do you think are a couple of strong contenders if it's not Williams?
You know, there's a lot of strong contenders. I'm going to take a couple of dark horses for you. One of them would be off my surprise team, Notre Dame, that I talked about. And that would be Sam Hartman. I think if Sam Hartman guided them to wins over Ohio State and then over USC with a head-to-head to Caleb Williams, all of a sudden he'd be in the Heisman race. And let's face it, he didn't have this type of talent surrounding him at Wake Forest as he does here at Notre Dame. And I think he's about a 20-1 long shot to win the Heisman. And another one would be Carson Beck of Georgia. And what I like about Carson Beck, he's been in the system for 4 years. He's got a great supporting cast, including my number one rated offensive line. They're going to be favored in every game. And if you're the number one quarterback, putting up good numbers for the number one team in the country, you got a shot of winning the Heisman. So those would be my two long shots this year.
Phil, I've seen people say, enjoy this college football season. It might be the last one we recognize the way we've grown up watching college football for a while. Big changes next year with the conferences shifting. Who knows if there'll even be a Pac-12, a 12-team playoff. Are these changes overall good for college football?
Yeah, they're tough for me, Rich. I'm a traditionalist. You know, I'll go back to 1995, though, the first year of the magazine, the Southwest Conference was in its final year and disbanding, and I was a little bit forlorn about that. You know, Texas going to the Big Eight back then, Texas A&M and all those teams leaving the Southwest Conference, and I wonder what it would be like for college football. I can say this, when it was just Oklahoma and Texas going to the SEC, USC, UCLA going to the Big Ten, I could handle that, but now I like regional football, Rich. So, I mean, who's our West Coast Conference? Who's our The Big Ten is now from coast to coast. You're going to have a West Coast team playing an East Coast team. The only regional conferences really left are the Sun Belt and the SEC this year, or for in the future. So not a big fan. I liked regional football. I liked all the rivalries, but somehow, some way, college football, like they did a long time ago, will survive and thrive.
Well, speaking of thriving, my goodness, the Phil Steele college football preview, bigger and better than ever. Of course, I love reading everything you say, all the insight, all the research. As you said, it starts as soon as the previous season ends, and you cover football like nobody else. I have been absolutely devouring the incredible section on FCS football. There's no resource out there like your guide when it comes to the FCS ranks.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Rich. And, you know, it's the first year. We've put out FCS previews before. We haven't done it for a couple of years. But this is the first time ever we've given two full pages on every FCS team, the same amount of coverage we give to the FBS in a magazine. Now, the FBS magazine is only available at Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, those are the only two locations, or philsteele.com. The FCS magazine is digital only, but at philsteele.com, and it's up right now, and I guarantee you, nobody's got an FCS magazine for starters, and no one has one anywhere near two full pages of information like we have. So it's if you're an FCS fan, you got to get the FCS magazine. It's up there right now.
Well, I have been reading it every night, getting ready for the coming season, and it is fabulous. A great work by everybody involved in putting that together. Phil, it's awesome to talk with you again. We always feel a whole lot smarter after we talk college football with you. So thanks, as always, for making some time for us today.
You know, I always enjoy our conversations, Rich, so I consider you a good friend, and I enjoyed it very much today.